The night is cold, and the trail is long and lonely. You feel as if you've been traveling forever, but your step is sure, and your heart is light. You are heading home, the home you weren't even sure existed, the home that calls to you in your dreams. And you are so close, close enough to make out the warm glow of firelight on the dark horizon. As you approach, you hear the gentle laughter of friends and voices raised in song, a melody you have never heard before, and yet it is as familiar as a mother's lullaby. Step inside. Happy faces greet you, and welcoming arms reach out to comfort you. Soon you are surrounded by good cheer. This is love and acceptance. This is where you have always belonged. This is home. You have arrived at the snow cave. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Singing in a Snow Cave podcast. I'm so glad you could join us. It may be cold out there, but the snow cave is a safe space, and everyone is welcome and accepted here. My name is Tracy, and I'll be your host. Come join us around the fire, and be well. This portion of today's Singing in a Snow Cave podcast is brought to you by the Bitterroot Institute Academia. This is that time of year that Bitterroot's famous School Under the Ground gears up for the annual Frost Fair in our beautiful town park. Principal Henny promises the fair will be the best yet, and while she has assured me of that every year that I can remember, I have to admit, it is true every year. The fair will have its usual carnival rides, vendors, carriage rides, and fantastic food, all proceeds going toward the school. And of course, the incredible shows that take place each night between December 1st and Christmas Day. The Bitterroot High School Marching Band kicks off opening night with the annual Christmas parade through town, ushering in Santa and the holiday season as only Bitterroot can. After the Christmas tree lighting, you'll be entertained by my personal favorite part of the Frost Fair, Professor Whimsy's marvelous, magical, mechanical Merry Christmas music machine. The professor says he has two brand new songs, complete with a couple of surprises set to really get the holiday season going. Following this is our beautiful traditional nativity play. If you haven't seen these two amazing presentations, my friend, you are missing out on a treat. Don't forget, Santa is always available at the Scout Hut every night up until Christmas Eve, of course. It's been a long time since I've just sat outside. First, it was too hot, and then my knee injury made sitting in my outside chairs uncomfortable. But one day last week, I was looking out my window and the lure of the backyard was too good to resist. It was, in my opinion, the perfect November day. The sky was cloudy and gray, but it was not very cold. Every now and then, a gentle breeze stirred the air and it was as welcome as a hug. I sat outside, comfortable and quiet, and I could feel my entire being start to relax, like all of my internal tension was released a quarter turn at a time. It was totally quiet. No one was about. So I closed my eyes and just listened. It seemed like I could hear the entire world. In the distance, a dog was barking, and it fired a memory, but it was too vague and distant to latch onto, so I just allowed the feelings of the memory to linger in my head. I heard a series of fire engines screaming toward a fire. The birds were quiet except for a solitary blue jay, but the trees were alive with music. At first, I thought it might be starting to rain. I could hear a pattering sound. And then I saw that the tallest tree was the source of that sound. Its dying leaves were creating a staccato sound like little drumsticks as they struck one another. Occasionally, one would break free, making its own counterpoint rhythm as it bounced from limb to limb on its way to the ground. Deep in the woods, I heard a deer making its deliberate way toward me, but no matter how intently I looked or where I looked, I could never see it. But it must have seen me, because just when the sounds grew almost parallel with me, I heard it turn and make a very careful journey back the way it came. But the star of the day was the scent in the air. When I closed my eyes and breathed in, the smells that came to me were the sweetest perfume. Dried leaves, damp earth, smells of hay and wood smoke, and this underlying spicy scent you can only find on a day like this. It was a smell I've known all my life. It was like being a kid again. These emotions filled me with a melancholy that was so sweet and nostalgic. And my heart went out to the little girl that I was. I had never felt like I fit in anywhere, but I had always felt like I belonged here in this November gloominess. The day grew cooler, calling me back inside. But I stayed out a little while longer, breathing in this scent, just thankful that autumn still recognized me as one of its own. If I could pick the moment to leave this earth, I would want it to be just like this one, wrapped in November's gentle gloom, my nostrils filled with the smell of autumn. I would want it to be infused in the last breath I take, and in the final last living memory I take with me. You're listening to the Singing in a Snow Cave podcast. You can listen to or download the podcast for free on the following platforms: Podbean, Amazon Music, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Player FM, ListenNote, Podchaser, Deezer, and Podcast Addict. You can also find us on Facebook, and we'd love to hear from you at singinginasnowcave@gmail.com. In the previous podcast, we spoke about the great debate of when to put up the Christmas tree. Well, I put up all my Christmas decorations last week, and it was a task, I'll tell you. Gee, I remember when I could start decorating in the morning and host a Christmas party that evening. Ooh, sadly, I'm not that quick anymore. But once I was done, I was pretty happy with the results. I displayed the ceramic Christmas village that belonged to my dad, Pat. And with the buildings and houses all lit up from within, I could almost picture them alive with people getting ready for the holidays. I just love the soft glow of Christmas lights, don't you? Before I started decorating, I did a fairly big cleanup around the house. I'm pretty organized to begin with, so not a huge amount of clutter, but just wanted to put everything in its place and give the floors and rooms a good cleanup in anticipation of our holiday guests. Besides, I want the decorations to be the star of the show, and you can't do that when you have to move stuff out of the way just to see them. I also like to take the opportunity this time of year to go through my closets and my cupboards to see what I can yard sale or take to the local haven of rest or even the dump. This enables me to start off the holiday season with a clean slate, and possibly I can provide something that another person needs or even make a little money for myself. During the pandemic, Marie Kondo became very popular for her KondoMari philosophy regarding decluttering and reorganization. The words spark joy were bandied around so much they almost became cliche. But I thought there was a lot to what they meant. You know, if we hold on to things for any other reason than that they're necessary, or that they bring us satisfaction and joy in the use of them, that's a good reason to move them on. We tend to hold on to things because we think we might need them, But chances are, if you haven't used something in 6 months to a year, you won't. And you may be holding on to gifts from loved ones that you keep because you would feel guilty to get rid of them. Or the memory tied to them is very significant. You don't need that object to be able to feel that emotion. If you're not really sure, you can always ask yourself, why am I saving this? What will happen if I release it? Does this item have memories attached to it that may be unhealthy or toxic? Another thing that the Kondo Mari philosophy said was to thank the object for being in your life before you move it on. I've actually done this myself, and when I did, I found that I no longer felt guilty or obligated to keep that object. We said our goodbyes, we moved on. If you'd like to get a head start on the clutter, here are a few tips that I've learned over the years. Start out with the obvious things, the things you don't use, clothes you haven't worn in at least 1 year, anything damaged or outdated, old cards and magazines, receipts and envelopes. I am manic about envelopes. I just hate them. Houseplants that are dead or dying, toys that your kids no longer play with, things that you're holding on because of guilt or memories or imagined obligations. You'd be surprised how many of those we have lying around. I can't get rid of that. Aunt Clara gave that to me for my 10th birthday. It would hurt her feelings. Well, chances are Aunt Clara would be laughing from her grave at that. When my mom sold her home and moved in with me, I counted 30 black bags that went to Goodwill, 25 that went to the dump, and I lost count of how many items of clothing. I threw away zillions of black bags of old bills from 25 years ago. She had kept tax returns from the 60s. But we were ruthless, and we got rid of those things. And do you know, she has not missed a single thing. So what do you do after you've gone through everything? You've made your decisions, and you're left with the things that you love, the things that do spark joy. Well, find a way to be vigilant for next year. For instance, one of the best ways to discover what you wear and don't wear is to start the new year with all of your hangers facing the same direction in your closet. And every time that you wear something, hang it up in the opposite direction. At the end of the year, you'll be able to easily see what you haven't touched. That makes your decision easier because it's visible. Experts say that this type of decluttering, this kind of cleaning out, is really good for you, both mentally and physically. Studies have shown that getting rid of old stuff can actually improve your health. It can stimulate creativity, improve your mood, help you think more clearly, even recharge relationships. As you do this clean out, you should feel the positive energy in your home. Watch what changes in you. As we clean our physical house, we also place order to our mind and our heart. It's good to practice detachment with material things that are doing nothing more than filling the space. Besides, you're going to need some more room to display all that cool swag you got for Christmas. Today, I want to talk a bit about one of our C words, comfort. It's easy to talk about getting physically comfortable when we mention Hygge or the cooler months of the year. We snuggle up in a cozy blanket or drink our favorite hot beverage or curl up by a fire, be it genuine or otherwise. Getting physically comfortable has definite parameters. We're cold, so we wear warmer clothes and we go indoors. We're tired, so we rest. We're in pain, so we take medication or physical therapy. We're hot, we put on lighter clothes, turn on the fans, drink something cool. But getting comfortable with ourselves mentally and emotionally can be much more challenging. What works for me may not be what you need in order to feel comfortable in your own skin. For as long as I can remember, I have always felt different, set apart from my friends and my family. I didn't really want to be. I wanted very much to fit in and be like everyone else. I never set out to be the weird one, as one of my cousins called me. I tried very hard. I tried too hard, really, to be part of the crowd. In reality, I look back at that person I was, trying so hard to fit in, trying so hard to be liked, and I just cringe for her. I was always unhappy because I could never relax. I could never be myself. And it took me many years and a lot of soul searching to realize that I never wanted to be myself because I didn't like myself. One of the reasons the Singing in a Snow Cave podcast was created was to remind everyone that it's okay to want to be liked, to be understood, to be loved. The trick is to remember that those things have to start with you learning to like yourself, understand yourself, and love yourself. Well, it's the most difficult journey I've ever taken. Just remember this. If you're feeling that you're not good enough, that is just a thought. It is not reality. Let's just unpack that. Feeling good enough is just a thought. Thought is not reality. This is something that I've had to work on, and it's not easy. But accepting that your thoughts are not necessarily your reality can bring you a lot of clarity and freedom. It begins with no longer wanting to fit in, because you fit in with yourself. You're not trying to be someone else by someone else's standard. You like yourself just the way you are. You no longer feel like no one understands you because you understand yourself. And that allows you to express yourself more clearly to others. And most importantly, by learning to love yourself, you find the capability to love others. So how do you begin? Well, think of what you do to make yourself physically comfortable. We don't take medicine because someone else has decided that we're in pain. And we don't put on a jacket because someone else tells us that we're cold. We first recognize a physical issue and then we take the action to resolve it. So think of the things that make you uncomfortable mentally and emotionally and find ways that you can resolve them. Think of ways you can actively get comfortable in your own skin. This is how you find out who you really are. If you go to parties because you think you're supposed to, but secretly you're counting the seconds until you can leave, ask yourself, why am I putting myself through this? Are you letting some outside pressure influence what you do? You don't have to. The first key to feeling comfortable is taking responsibility for your own comfort. You might lose friends who don't like not having that control over you. No great loss there. You will naturally gravitate toward the ones who have your best interest at heart because they're on the same journey as you. They are your tribe. You won't have to do this alone unless that is your decision. It does take time and trial and error. Those two partners in my journey, I'll tell you. And you may have setbacks when something negative and unexpected comes your way. But trust yourself. Accept and love yourself. It will help you stay true. I'm not saying anything new or profound, just things that I'm discovering on my own path. My wish for you is that you find exactly what you need to bring you that comfort that you need. The next portion of today's Singing in a Snow Cave podcast is brought to you by the I Can Do It folks at Chapman Hardware, where Mark asked me to remind you, it's that time of year when not only the world falls in love, but folks fall off ladders trying to hang up the Christmas lights. For a very small fee, he and one of the lads at the store will be happy to stop by and help you hang those decorations. And if you're a senior citizen, they'll do it for free. Anything to keep our precious loved ones safe from those unexpected mishaps that can occur when ladders and electricity are involved. And right now, there's a sale on colored lights and wreaths. If you mention you heard about them on the podcast, you'll get an extra 20% off the already low price. Remember, if Mark can't do it, can't nobody do it. That's Chapman Hardware, serving the Bitterroot community and Collinsdock Township since 1947. Wherever you are, notice beauty today. A group on Facebook called Sweatpants and Coffee has a lovely list of beautiful things that you can notice, little moments of beauty that enrich our lives. The way a coffee shop smells when you open the door and the air puffs out. The sound of rain on the window, one of my favorites. Reading a book that's so good, you want to start it again as soon as you finish. I can't tell you how many times I finished a book that I loved and just turned right back to page one and started reading again. Soft blankets and fluffy pillows. Well, that one is a gimme. When a new animal friend trusts you enough to let it give you pets. I was getting my tires rotated the other day, and this huge pit bull came stomping by me, and he looked up at me almost like he was going, "Hey, how you doing?" He was a big guy, and he was solid as a rock. And he just walked by and sat down on a chair right beside me like he was waiting for his car as well. And I reached over and I held out my hand. He sniffed it and I said, "Hey, buddy, how you doing?" By the time that my car was ready, we were best buds. When something funny or sweet happens and you catch another person's eyes who sees it too, that's a lovely feeling, a real shared moment of beauty. And the way a really good song makes you feel. Just take a minute and think about your favorite song. You turn it up and you sing it at the top of your voice, and you don't care if the person beside you is watching you. You're just enjoying it. Beautiful moments can be simple or elaborate or perfect or flawed, but enjoy each and every one of them because they are also unique. You'll never have another one just like it again. You're listening to Singing in a Snow Cave. I'm going to share a recipe today. I love this recipe. It is easy to make. And in spite of a lot of people scratching their head and going, "Huh, really?" It's so delicious. And you could make it ahead of time. And it's actually better if you do. I've heard it called everything from fluff to junkyard salad. We just call it pink stuff. And I guarantee you, you make it one time, you'll make it every time you have a get-together. It's so easy and fun, and it tastes great. You're going to love this. So grab a pen, and let's get started. 1 can of cherry pie filling, a large can of pineapple tidbits, not the chunks and not the crushed stuff, just the kind of teeny ones in between, 1 can of sweetened condensed milk, 2 cups mini marshmallows, and an 8-ounce tub of Cool Whip. That's it. You just mix everything together in a bowl, stick it in the fridge, and enjoy it. Oh, and you might want to double the recipe because if you take it anywhere, you won't have any leftovers. I'd like to finish up with a quote from a gentleman named Matt Haig. "It's easy to mourn the lives we aren't living. It's easy to wish we'd developed other talents, said yes to different offers. It's easy to wish we'd worked harder, loved better, handled our finances more astutely, been more popular, stayed in the band, gone to Australia, said yes to the coffee, or done more bloody yoga. It takes no effort to miss the friends we didn't make, and the work we didn't do, and the people we didn't marry, and the children we didn't have. It is not difficult to see yourself through the lens of other people and to wish you were all the different kaleidoscopic versions of you they wanted you to be. It is easy to regret and keep regretting ad infinitum until our time runs out. But it is not lives we regret, not living, that is the real problem. It is the regret itself. It's the regret that makes us shrivel and wither and feel like our own and other people's worst enemy. We can't tell if any of those other versions would have been better or worse. Those lives are happening, it is true. But you are happening as well. And that is the happening you have to focus on. Just can't believe it's time to brave the elements so soon. Oh, thank you for listening. It's been so good being with you again. I hope you found something to warm your heart and to bring joy into your life. Please remember you matter and that you are loved. We are here to lift one another up. And until we gather together once more, I hope you will leave this safe place with a song in your heart. Take care. Thank you.